Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Greeny's wife, Stacy, sends out a picture before the Super Bowl.
I heard about this.
And he's eating wings with a knife and fork. I mean, what are you doing?
Wait. What is happening here?
And then he tweeted out later, he goes, well, how else would you eat it? He's in his 50s, right? How else would you eat wings? You put them up to your mouth, you gnaw at them, and then you wipe the sauce off your face.
Right. There's only one way to eat wings. And the way he's doing it is not the way.
No, it's an embarrassing way, and he should be embarrassed. And we love him, but
not only is it embarrassing because it's weak and it makes you look like if you were in a group of other men, they see you do that and they go, now we know who the weak one is. He's the one we take out. And if you're on an island and a guy starts pulling out the knife and fork for the wings, we go, well, he's who we're eating when we run out of wings.
Right.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Troubling, and I'm told that we are going to have Greeny on tomorrow.
Good.
To talk about that. I think the key question is the hamburger question that Don came up with. How do you eat a hamburger if you don't want to touch food?
I think
what happens if he has a bag of chips, right? Does he pick them up with like a tongs?
Yeah, he has chip tongs.
Right, or Fritos. You put your hand in the bag and you eat it.
Now, all right, the hamburger, I can see him eating with a knife and fork. But what about like a chili dog?
Yeah, a hot dog. What about that?
Yeah, you can't like carve up a hot dog like that. You eat it with your hands. You
get the hot dog.
What does he do at a ball game? He doesn't go to a baseball game. Doesn't take his son to a baseball game. They get a couple of hot dogs. Go to Citi Field. Watch the Mets. What are you bringing? Like a plastic forks and knives and like a little snack tray and start cutting up the food? Come on.
Is he actually driving? Like he goes to McDonald's. Maybe he doesn't go to McDonald's. Goes to McDonald's. You put your hand in, you pull out five or six fries, and you shove it into your mouth.
That's how you do it.
Does he take a fork and eat a fry like that? No, I can see eating fries with, like, gravy on it, which was a staple at Fordham when I ballooned up to 270. That was great. But just regular fries with salt, you got to eat with your hands.
I don't think he does any fast food.
That's probably true, too.
He probably only eats the wings on Super Bowl Sunday, too.
It's his cheat day out of 365.
Yes.
He is in tremendous shape. What is that? I just heard a reverb.
Yeah, that's weird. I heard somebody talking in the background.
I don't like it at all.
I have a special guest.
Dear God.
Who is your special guest?
Bun B, from UGK, playing for my computer.
Oh, let's talk about, while we wait on Steve Young, Peter, you outlasted Don. So you do not have to grow out your hair. How big was that victory for you?
Well, you know, Don and I had a little bit of a tense exchange on the show.
Was it really?
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay.
I did. I really did. I said, I even texted Peter. I said, in a mood, leave him alone. Because I know you. When you're in a mood, you're in a mood.
Because we came on, and on the pre-show call, Don tells us he almost just went and got a haircut today.
Yeah, I didn't realize that was a thing.
And I'm thinking, so by almost, it's not the same thing, Michael, but it's like, hey, how about instead of eating the crickets on the show, I just tell you guys, hey, I ate some crickets earlier.
Well, no. Because you're going to see that I got my hair cut. I thought it would be interesting. All of a sudden, I pop on, and there, no beard, short hair, and that's it. That's the punishment.
We need the experience.
I don't know if we do. We did the experience. First day on Yes, we did the whole shaving.
Well,
that beard.
Was great. That was a long time ago. That was great.
I just don't know during the pandemic how we can do this.
You go to the Garden and do Ranger games. I think you could go get your hair cut somewhere.
Oh, no, I agree. But how do we do it for the show?
Have Nancy videotape it.
Yes would send someone, perhaps.
Oh, I could probably videotape it. And then you see it get cut, and then we can use it on the air if you'd like to do that. That's fine.
Or we could go into the station one day when you have a, when you have to be in the city, maybe. Have someone come in. But anyways, so that has to be discussed. I'm curious what the audience feels. And Don got angry at me, Michael, because I told him, you know, listen, everyone's been telling me that I had a horseshoe hanging out of my you-know-what the whole year, as he put it. And I admit there were some lucky moments for me, although I certainly didn't catch it in the playoffs, when I had an 0-for-4 playoff weekend once, or whatever I had.
Buried you.
Or 0-for-3. So, yeah, that killed me. I could have won the whole thing without that 0-for-3 weekend. I still finished with the best record overall. So I said to Don, though, for all the luck I had, I didn't feel that way about my pick yesterday. I understand the missed extra point, but to me, and Michael, you didn't quite weigh in on this yet, my perspective is this. I told you guys on Friday I liked the Rams to win by a field goal, but I thought the Bengals would cover. Yes, weird things happened. Odell got injured, a missed extra point. But the bottom line was, what, as I watched that game, I felt the whole night that Cincinnati would cover.
How could you say that, though? If Odell doesn't get hurt, I think the Rams blow him out.
Maybe, but that's the fallacy of the predetermined outcome.
But look at the drives after Odell. Like the next seven drives was six punts and a field goal, or an interception that was thrown in there. So they didn't do anything after Odell until the final drive.
Hey, you deserve the win. That's why gambling is ridiculous to do, because there's so many things that go beyond your control, beyond logic. But you were talking like, oh, that was an easy cover. How was that an easy cover when if they don't botch the extra point, it would have been a push?
Push, and then Dom wins.
And at 13-3, you know, they're about to get their doors blown off. Odell gets hurt. Now, that's part of it. I'm not complaining about it, but you can't tell me that the botched extra point and Odell being out didn't affect the outcome of the game.
Did Odell get hurt at 13-3 or 13-10?
I think it was 13-10. But you could see they were able to move the ball pretty well. He's their second leading receiver. And then once he went out of the game, it definitely changed things. But again, that's gambling. That's what happens.
And that's football.
But, you know.
We knew that.
But if Odell's not playing in the game, what's the spread? Probably goes down like a half a point, if not a full point. You lose your second best wide receiver.
Listen, you're not wrong. And I understand me saying, I didn't use the words, I don't believe, easy cover.
You never felt like they weren't going to cover. How could you say that when they're down 13-3?
Well, because, and honestly, even at that point, I never got nervous. Because, guys, if you'd watched the Cincinnati team throughout the playoffs, a 10-point deficit wasn't anything to really get scared of. And I said this last week. Point to me the game when the Rams play a complete four quarters. They didn't yesterday either. Well, they don't play four quarters.
Let's bring in Steve Young, who was there. And we'll get his take, Steve. We're talking about if Odell
Michael,
doesn't
let
get
me
hurt.
Tell you right now. Let me tell you, the Rams were Cincinnati's defense had no answer. When Cooper Kupp caught the second touchdown, they were baffled on where they were going to try to handle things. And if OBJ would not get gotten hurt, I think this game would have gotten away from them.
Once he got hurt,
they didn't have the ability, and it really changed. And they were able to go man. And once they went man, it takes Cooper Kupp a little bit more out of the equation, and that's why they didn't play a whole game. The Ram team that showed up yesterday with OBJ and all the things they were doing was ready to run the table, and it's unfortunate he got hurt.
All right, Peter, now you just pipe down when a Hall of Famer says it, because you don't respect me and Don.
Well, no, listen, I certainly appreciate Steve's sentiment, and obviously the Odell thing was big, there's no doubt. But at the same time, and Steve would admit this, the reason Steve probably doesn't bet a lot of money on football is these things happen. It just that some things happen in football games.
And look, Peter, what you're right about is the Rams were an unfinished, you know, team all in my mind until they played the Cardinals. They were up and down and very unfinished. But I believe in the last 4 weeks they have significantly changed on who you think they are. Although, to your point, yesterday I'm going to say Odell's injury was the issue, but it doesn't matter. In the end, they did behave like they did all year, where they didn't put a complete game. So I'm gonna give that to you. I just say that Odell's injury is the issue. That's all.
Let me ask you about Stafford, because you know people are putting him in Canton next to your bust. I mean, and I think he's had a nice career. He's never won an MVP, one Pro Bowl. I know he's with the Detroit Lions. You think that Super Bowl yesterday makes him an automatic to get into Canton?
No, but it's something, and I'm guilty of this as well, Michael. because I live the world and life of you know, NFL quarterback, mm-hmm. there's a hazard pay that when you see what he accomplished in Detroit, you just tip your cap. You know how brutal that is, and how one of the things that as a player to be great in the league, you need a lot of help. There's nobody that's ever been great in football that didn't get tons of help from a coach, from star players, from a great owner. Like, you need tons of help. And when you don't get any help over and over again, but yet you still not only survive, but in some ways thrive, I think there's a respect that I have for Matthew that maybe others don't really have a perspective. And so I'm willing to admit that I'm a little bit, you know, kind of oversold on Matthew Stafford mm-hmm. because of that. So when he got a chance in L.A., I knew how good he is. He's aggressive. He always will be aggressive. And that's what gets him into trouble. But you think of the way he threw the football in the last month and a half, and you just say to yourself, that's Hall of Fame kind of stuff. We can parse it and try to figure out what it is, in or out, but it's that kind of stuff. And then it's really how much you value what he did in Detroit. If you devalue that, then you're making a good case, Michael. But if in my mind, I highly value it because I know how hard that was. And so I kind of give it extra points for what he was able to accomplish in Detroit.
Now, history is going to remember the fourth down play to Cooper Kupp as a great call and a creative play. But in that moment, did you think it was right with that much time and timeouts to go for it deep in their own territory?
Wait, are you talking about a fourth down on their side of the field, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the game. It's just a gut. Remember, I always tell you, people that look at the money ball stuff and try to, like the data and go, okay, I'm going to make my decision on some odds. Baseball, it's fine. Football makes, honestly, no sense. If you have a play you love and a gut feeling in a moment, I'm up for that. I guess I'm down for that, right? I'm good with, you know, and I think that was a gut reaction from Sean McVay. He trusts him, and he had a play that he loved. And if he got blown up on it and a play that you love and a gut feeling you wanted to do it, but that was the game, let's be honest. You don't get that done right there, it's over. And so,
well, why is it over?
I mean, like,
but why, like, would it be over?
No, yeah. Look, it's 3.5 minutes. What I'm saying, now you're now down six, right? You're not you're down seven.
If
he doesn't get it, but if he punts, it's not over. If he punts, he has three timeouts left.
I say
you're
punting.
You pin him back.
No, once you go for it, I'm saying.
Right, okay.
Punt, look, you know the odds were to punt it, right? The odds are to punt it, especially with three timeouts.
Right.
There's just a gut, and you got to, and that's the part that you, as a coach, if you're going to be that guy, I have a gut instinct, and I got a play I like, I'm all for it. And if it doesn't, it blows up on you, you'll never get away from it. Sean McVay would be getting killed today if they didn't convert that fourth down.
Now,
by
on the flip
home
side.
Home fans and everybody.
The flip side, what was Zach Taylor doing going for it on the first possession there when he's at midfield? Why would you do that? And that led to a touchdown by the Rams.
Because I can guarantee you that in the pregame speech or in the night before in the hotel, they declare to the team, this is who we are. We are going to go for it. We're going to be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive. And then all of a sudden, 5 seconds into the game, the referendum comes on what you just told everybody.
Right.
And so you're kind of stuck with what you told everyone, when you know it's a little early for that. It's like, and it did hurt them. I think it stung that early because they stung them. They were able to stop the Rams, get the ball in a good spot, and now they give the Rams ball as if they had, you know, didn't punt the ball or they had. I just changed the momentum, and as a momentum changer early in a game, not worth it, especially in the Super Bowl. So I think that, but I you could tell he had told somebody that he felt like it was a referendum on what he told him. He could be a liar. We're going to be aggressive. And hell, here it is. He's like, well, I guess I got to do it. Because it was on the other side of the 50.
Yep.
And he might have said, to me, it was on the 49. I'm like, I guarantee you he told someone, if it's on the other side of the 50, we're doing it. And then all of a sudden it's at the 49. You're like,
yeah.
And early in the game, you're like, yeah, we got to do it. I told everyone I was going to do it. I got to do it.
Now, Aaron Donald's already talking about retirement. Now, I don't know if it's a money ploy for a contract, Steve, but it is ironic that he's 30. That seems to be a magic number for football players. Why is that?
Not all players. There's no question.
Not quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks,
but
it is not the magic number.
I mean, right.
It's not just a joke.
But for Megatron, linemen, Barry Sanders.
Linebackers and running backs. Running backs, defensive linemen, and linebackers. 30 is because the game that you play is ramming people at a running start from 5 yards away. That's your job. And there's no way to get around it. There's no way to diminish it. And so that's why 30 becomes the time that you're on your way out. Whether you like it or not, or whether they like it or not, it's that time. Running backs are the same. And so Aaron Donald, who's such an elite player, the discipline of if he's truly thinking about retiring, I cannot tell you how much I admire the discipline of that, because he would leave the great one of the greatest defenders of all time with a Super Bowl in his pocket and his body intact. I got to believe his body. And I think the big injuries and the things that cause you grief when you're 60 happen probably from 30 to 35, I suspect. And so I think there's a lot of discipline around it. Now, it is super difficult, almost impossible, to be able to make that call when you're 30 because you feel great. You know you can go make three times as much money as you ever had. You can now go around the league as a Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl champion and MVP, type of guy in the league, a defensive player of the year. That's a cool way to live. So it's hard to do and have the discipline of him. So I bet you that he's back just because I know how hard that is to do. But I admire the discipline because Aaron seems like that kind of a guy, by the way, Don. He feels like he's got a little Barry Sanders in him in a way. I don't know how to describe that. It's like, hey, I'm good. So it makes me fear that maybe he is done. But I can't tell you how hard that is.
All right, so I think it was Peter King today who said that when the history of football is written, the best defensive player is going to be Lawrence Taylor 1A and Aaron Donald 1B. And I think Aaron Donald's unbelievable, Steve, but is that a little recency bias? Reggie White and stuff like that?
If you're going to agree, you can't leap over Reggie White. You can go in with him. You can have any conversation you want, but you have to hold hands with Reggie White. Leave him.
Right.
I don't care who it is. Even Lawrence Taylor, no way. And maybe that's because I lived it, but I lived both of them. Reggie White, and that's the same kind of comment I want to make for Aaron Donald. To dominate from that spot, down with your face, your hand in the ground, and down in the trenches, to dominate from there. And have everybody in the league, because that's the place where usually it's the offensive lineman that really respects, well, he's a killer, that guy's great. But we never really hear about it. You know, defensive tackle, you don't hear about it. But when you're talking about, like, when Al Michaels is telling you how, Aaron Donald is dominant, and he's broken out like Reggie White did in a place that you're kept. You can't dominate from there. No one appreciates it. You can't come. Lawrence Taylor was in the perfect spot. You know, Kevin Great, name them all, the big sack guys. They're famous. They do the sack dance. They do all they don't have to break through. Defensive tackles have to do that. And so that's why if you're going to have greatest defenders of all time, you say recently biased, that's fine. But in my mind, you cannot talk about the greatest without Reggie White and Aaron Donald. With whoever you want to say, Lawrence Taylor, fine. But you cannot do it without those two, because they did something that Lawrence Taylor didn't do and no one else from the outside did it. They did it from their hand on the ground, and that is, I'm not saying double difficult, but it's significantly more difficult.
And is there something to Steve, also the era in which, he's doing it? I mean, Lawrence Taylor is the greatest player that I ever saw, but, quarterbacks weren't throwing for 5,000 yards and every rule wasn't bent towards the offense.
It's a terrible time for defenders.
Right.
If my son was going into college to play and he had to pick one offense or defense, no one's going to play. No fool would go play defense right now. It's an offensive league. It's an offensive game, and it's only getting more so. And as people get loving it more and more, it'll only become more. Well, I almost feel like the defensive football is going to be like the Washington Generals pretty soon. You know what I mean? It's like they just come in and just be the foil. I slipped on the banana. You would not want. And so you're done. You make my point even more so, mm-hmm. that if Aaron Donald's dominating in this era, it is significantly more important.
I thought that if that last drive didn't happen, Steve, that a lot of the blame for this might have gone to McVay. Did you think that he stayed with the run too long? It was very okay. First half, you want to establish it, but then he just kept doing it, and Cam Akers just could not gain any yards. Why didn't he go with what they did in the last drive at the beginning of the third quarter?
I feel like he reacted to OBJ's the yard before, when OBJ hadn't been hurt and they scoop a cup score. I told you could see the defenders everybody was just bad. Like, they don't know where they're coming from. People, they lost Cooper Kupp on the touchdown. They don't know. And OBJ was now, they had to track him. They didn't know where he was coming out of. They were in a jam. And I think that just as much as Cincinnati's defense kind of doubled down on the man-to-man when OBJ got hurt and really caused problems, it felt like Sean McVay overreacted as well. Like, OBJ's gone, and he tried. Remember, he tried it, and then the interception. Mm-hmm. That was OBJ's ball. That was his position. Now it's not OBJ. And all of a sudden, the ball comes out pretty perfectly, gets tipped up, intercepted, and now McVay's like, look, my Super Bowl can't go down this way. I can't take the risks that I can. And so I think he might have overreacted as well and tried to diminish the, kind of lower the temperature on the risk-taking, and that's why the second and third quarter kind of, there was like a wandering nothing. And I think you make a good point.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steve, you ever throw a complete no-look pass on a game-winning drive before? Because that's what Matt Stafford did yesterday.
I don't know if I did, but it's a sign of dominance. It's a there's probably things in the animal kingdom that moments like I see these on Twitter or somewhere on Instagram. You got these lions going after the kill and attack, and then they play with it, and then like that just shows you. How good you are, like how capable you are of managing all the data and everything that's going on, the adrenaline and all the moment, and you can be still toying with people. And I think that was pretty cool.
Speaking of weak animals in the jungle, did you happen to see the picture on the internet of our very own Mike Greenberg eating wings with a knife and fork?
I did not, and that is not.
It's troubling.
First of all, It doesn't work on multiple levels. All the levels that you're talking about, it doesn't work. But it also doesn't work.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like I don't mind if somebody is like, we don't like it because it's, whatever you want to talk about it, but it still is efficient. But it also doesn't work. It's not efficient.
That's not efficient. Like, that's not efficient eating.
Yeah, you can't. Like, I just want to be whatever it is. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in any direction. We cannot abide that.
Do you believe, Steve, that Joe Burrow was in danger if he won this game? How do I put this? Of being a little bit too full of himself?
It didn't matter how Joe felt about him. We were going to – you could feel everyone loves – like Patrick Mahomes. We jumped on Patrick Mahomes and we rode him, and he was the greatest thing ever happened. Amazing. We were talking about no-look passes and lefty passes and things that had never happened before in football. And it would have been like that. Like Patrick Mahomes was it would have been like that. Absolutely. And Joe Burrow wouldn't have mattered whether he thought, look, I think I love Joe having fun. I think really smart quarterbacks engage their linemen directly and their teammates indirectly all the time. And to me, Joe is super smart. He's engaging his teammates and his linemen in some of this stuff. I don't think it's for the fan. We love it, and the fans love it, and we're all engaged. I think that the team is really into what Joe does and how he does it, where he kind of toys with his get-ups, and all the guys in the locker room have fun with it, and he's smoking a cigar with the guy. Like, I think he's got some genius in him, you know, kind of idiot savant work that the team has really responded to. And so in that way, I'm all for it, because I think that, and I think Patrick Mahomes garners the same kind of thing in his locker room. And you're right; it would have blown up as big as Patrick Mahomes for sure, Michael.
You've been to a lot of stadiums in your life. I have never been to SoFi. Looking at it on TV, Steve, I think it's the most magnificent structure I've ever seen. How is it in real life?
100%. I'm so glad you said that. It's not close. Nothing close. Nothing. Mm. You know, I've been everywhere, right? And and honestly, it's a piece of art. I don't go to museums for art like regularly. Like, oh, I can't wait. I'm in town. I got to go to MoMA or whatever it is. I don't. But when I see great art, I do appreciate it. And it's a piece of art. The whole thing is an amazing, and how it makes you feel. When you're in it, you feel like you're on your back patio. You feel like you're on the awning outside in L.A. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It's genius stuff. And it's huge, but it doesn't feel – I don't know. I'm glad you brought it up, because whoever designed it, whatever's done, it's a place where you want to hang out. And I don't feel like that in stadiums at all, really, ever.
So it's better than Jerry World?
Look. I saw Jerry yesterday. I'm so hard on Jerry. I'm scared to go see him because I think he's going to punch me. But I'm not hard on him. Look, to be clear, I'm hard on him because until he empowers a head coach to go into that locker room and the players know that the head coach has the power to fire you and not just the owner, they'll never get to where they need to be. And so I've said that 1,000 times. But I have this image of Jerry punching me, which is probably not the case. But I saw him yesterday. I think that what he built was, it's huge. It's massive. When you're in it, that's what I think. When you're in Jerry World, you think to yourself, this is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life. That's the best quality of it. So that's good. It's fine. That's what he wanted, and it's what he got.
You're also 20 years younger than him. Don't worry if he punches you.
Yeah.
I could duck it, right?
You can even take it right on the chin.
No, it's like I have PTSD of Al Davis, because when I was warming up against the Raiders one time, Mike Shanahan, who had just been fired by Al Davis and was bitter and had all kinds of bitterness stories that go with it that make you, as a guy on his team now, you felt it. It was like visceral. Like I felt the bitterness against Al for what he'd done to Mike, my coach.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're warming up, and Al Davis used to famously stand at the 50 looking at the other team, with his arm folded in his white tracksuit. You know, it was classic. He'd stand there and watch you warm up as if he was kind of trying to, you know, intimidate you a little bit. And so we're warming up. We're down at the 20 going out, and Shanahan turns to me and says, hey, look, throw a ball at Al, will you? And I, you know, you're in the moment. And I told Mr. Davis later how much I regretted it and how much I'm sorry, you know, that happened, and how much I respect Mr. Davis. Like, I really do, for all the things. Like, it's like, but you're in the moment, like, and I hit him all full. It was not a good, I did not hit him directly, okay?
No, you didn't peg him.
I did not.
You just scared.
The ball bounced out up and then just into his kitchen, and then it was just like, it was what Mike was hoping to have happen. But yet, as I look back, I'm not proud of it. I'm not happy about it. I don't like it. And I actually sought out Mr. Davis at a Monday night game in Seattle to tell him that, because it really bothered me.
What did he say?
I didn't like it. He was not happy, and he remembered it, and he let me have it. Now, he didn't swing, which is fine. Like, that's cool. I'm glad he didn't swing, but he was not happy. And I was glad that I apologized for it, because when you do something you shouldn't do, you should go fix it. And I was glad I did.
So you apologized to him while you were still a player?
No. This is after.
Okay.
So it took some time.
Like, see, I love the fact. See, he's a New Yorker. He didn't take the apology. I wouldn't have either.
No. Yeah, no part of it. No part of it. You bastard. I tell you, God, I had you in we had our team. I can't do that, Al Davis, but he had traded for me in 1990, and they announced it. I called him over. He called and said, you're a Raider. And then it got somehow faded. I don't know what happened. So he was still mad about that as well.
I can't picture you as a Raider. You don't have that kind of attitude.
I know. Who knows? I mean, well, Todd Christensen, Mark Wilson, these are all BYU guys who are Raiders. So
yeah, you're right. Do you think that the Bengals will get back, or is this just a one-shot thing? Because unless they fix the offensive line, this kid's going to get injured again.
Yeah, they got to fix the offensive line. It's terrible. So that's number one. But that's not the end. That's not look, if you focus on it, put some money towards it, you can do it. The problem that the Bengals have is that they're in the AFC. And you've got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. All of those guys are going to be in the mix at the end of the season every year, scrambling. And then what if there's another team that figures it out, like Denver, or like who knows who else that can figure it out with a great quarterback shows up and then gets in the mix. But being in the AFC over the next, I don't know, 5-10 years, if you think you're going to the Super Bowl every year, you're kidding yourself, because you got to look around. If you want to go to the Super Bowl every year, you got to get over the NFC. You know, and that's the place you want to be right now.
But the North helps, right? Because, you know, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, I guess if Baltimore were to get back on the horse, they would probably be the only threat to stop them from winning the division, right?
Yeah, but my point is, great, you win your division, and you're going to be in the playoffs and playing these quarterbacks that you got to go beat.
Right.
And yeah, you beat them 1 year, you ran the table. Well, who's going to run the table next year? Is it going to be you again? Hmm. Is it going to be Josh Allen? Is it going to be Patrick Mahomes? Is it going to be Deshaun Watson if he stays in the AFC? Is it going to be Lamar Jackson because they finally let him go get kind of a sophisticated passing game, which would be phenomenal, awesome, and cool? Then all of a sudden, then it really gets tough. So, look, the idea of getting back, but the Bengals are not going away. It's going to be tough in the AFC, but they're going to, I believe, they are in the mix in the AFC for the foreseeable future.
Also, what you said, I mean, it just screams out, why would Aaron Rodgers think about going to Denver, stay in Green Bay?
Never. Aaron Rodgers is a complete idiot if he goes to Denver. what are you kidding me? In that division? You can walk backwards and you can yell into the fans in Chicago that I own you and no one can do anything about it. I mean, who does that in the NFL? Usually you get your lights punched down the next moment. There's no challenge in the NFC right now for Aaron Rodgers. Why would you go to the AFC and just take body punches every week? Forget it. No way.
I agree. Steve, this was great. The whole year, you know how we feel about you.
You know what? I got to tell you guys, I got to finish something. Did we talk about Tom Brady? And
yeah.
Didn't you ask me, and you said, is he retired? And I said, oh, he's retired.
Right.
He's for sure retired. Did we go through that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I need to amend it.
Oh, wow. See, I was right.
Oh, no.
Tell us what you know.
I just don't want that to be. I can't have that sit out there for 6 months. And Steve Young said that Tom Brady's retiring. I believe he's retired. But he's retired from Tampa. He's retired from New England. He's retired from every team in the league but one.
San Francisco.
And that is return to his roots in San Mateo and Sarah High School. And so if and I'm not saying it's happening, I'm not trying to make a headline here. Don't do it. Because this comment is not worthy of any headline. All I'm saying is I'm not willing to talk to you guys in 6 months sitting out there knowing that there is something that's possible, albeit remote, that he would end up in San Francisco. All right? Be done with it.
And it makes sense because it gives Trey Lance 2 more years.
It makes sense.
See? Right. I'm not that dumb, huh?
No.
No. I really that's why I said I couldn't abide that one because you said, I think he's coming back. No, he's not. He's got his plan. He's got his clothing brand. He's got everything's planned for the next 2-3 years. All the announcements. He's done. And then I got thinking about him
And did you see the picture of him walking on the beach with Giselle? He looked miserable.
Look, nobody retires and is it's hard. There's nothing like it, Michael. There's nothing like. Well, maybe there is. I mean, there's other jobs. But there's no job like football, even in baseball and basketball. You physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally have to pour yourself out every freaking week to stay on top. Now, I'm not saying basketball and baseball are easy or easier. I'm not. Forget it. Just understand the physical nature of football pours you out in a way that no other sport does. I mean, you know, you can say bull riding or I don't know what else, hockey a little bit, but the physical nature of it and the focus at quarterback makes it like a really unique experience, and that's what I miss. People say, well, Steve, you really want to still play? I don't necessarily want to do a lot of things about playing, but the one thing I miss is that feeling that everything is poured, everything you own is poured in, and there's nothing else like it. No job, no relationship, nothing is 100,000% poured in to finally get above it. And so that's why, Tom, no one's going to be happy necessarily. Now, there's more sublime and wonderful things out there, family, your marriage, other things are wonderful and sublime, more sublime. But the actual thing of pouring yourself out, you do not – and that's what the problem people have, Michael, is they go out and they finish their career, and then they go try to find it somewhere else. And that's the big mistake. There is nowhere else. And do not go try to find it, because then you get it yourself into a lot of trouble. And that's the truth about retiring. It's like falling off a cliff. And then you got to shake yourself up, stand up, learn to walk, and go do something else. But you are no longer the greatest at something. In fact, Tom retires. The day before he retired, he's the greatest that ever played. The next day, he's not great at anything. And that's the way I felt about it. I'm not great at anything. I'm not even good at anything else. The thing that I was best at, I can't do anymore. That's a hard spot to be. So you think he's on the beach like doing cartwheels, put it in context. This is tough.
Great stuff. So now we don't have to hold it over your head if he does come back, because you've cleared it up. You've clarified it.
I'm sorry. I went too long there. I apologize. I know you
No, we needed it.
I love it.
I got crazy there. But anyway, I wanted to clear that up because, you know, if it happens, you know, I don't know if you heard it here first, but at least, you know, we talked about it.
It's going to be a back page in the New York Post tomorrow, so get ready for this.
I'm telling you, that's a mistake by the back page. I'm not worried about it. I'm just telling you. Don't be shocked. All right? Don't be shocked.
Good stuff, Steve. Thanks so much.
Steve, thank you,
bye,
man.
Boys. See you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
I believe, and I don't know if you agree, because we're up against the break, I think that was his best performance of the year. He saved his best for last.
Yeah,
the Al Davis story, the Tom Brady story. I'm not good at anything anymore. I mean, he was unbelievable.
He didn't want to go, which is great.
Let's see Passan top that. Let's see it.
No, it can't be topped.
Let's see Orlovsky do it, and Orlovsky's good. Let's see him do it. This was top flight. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.